I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome to another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And we come at you every week on the WGR550.com on-demand audio with all the podcasts and everything like that. Thank you always for listening. Why am I being so nice today?
Yeah, why are you?
Because we could all relax a little bit, maybe? After the Sabres took a team that has been playing lights out and they got 2 points?
Yeah.
Maybe because Jack Eichel looks like he's back? Maybe because we actually got some secondary scoring. Maybe because I feel like it. Part of that, though, a large portion of it is because of the fact that the Sabres won against the Flames last night.
It's not because you feel like it.
Like I said, a large portion of it is because of the Sabres. I feel like it. It's just that the Sabres helped encourage that mood.
Okay. Yeah, they did. They did. I feel good today,
Eichel
too.
Eichel was filthy the whole game before finally.
You mentioned like Eichel's back. I don't think he left. He's been playing well.
You saw how rusty he was in Carolina.
Oh, yeah. And
like,
that's a
first game back, like it was a bit rusty.
That's a given,
and then
though.
All the wheels fell off with the Edmonton game. And like
and
the
that
dude
was
in a four
that was
game.
Just everybody.
I know, but the dude was in a four game point slump. It's not
Eichel
like
legit could have had 3 goals last night.
Technically call it 3.5 because he played like 10 minutes in the Islander game.
Yeah.
So, but you know, when you're not on the point sheet for at minimum 3 games, well, I'd like to see you back. And he was back in a big way. So
nothing bigger than getting an OT winner.
Exactly. So, and how many times have we seen that kind of goal from him this year now?
A lot. And it was like that's like the third time he's done that.
That's
kind
like the
of
third
play.
Time in like the last couple of months. I swear it was similar with the Pittsburgh goal too in overtime.
A little bit, yes.
The only difference is that Eichel is now hitting short side on
the minimal Pittsburgh windows. The Pittsburgh one was a far side shot that went through the arm of the goalie, and then you had the one.
But the move was similar.
The move was there too. It was similar. Yes,
by himself space to
but
the outside,
had, but. The Pittsburgh one, Eichel had more space to come in to go a little more towards the net, whereas last night, and then the other two times I'm thinking of, I think it was Boston.
Boston and Washington.
Yes. And he stayed more on the outside.
Yes.
And took that far side shot in the short window.
And like poor Dmitry Orlov and whoever the Boston defender was, Mark Giordano got a nice little biscuit and a walk because that's what Jack Eichel did to him. He put him on a walk there.
Yeah.
And dang, like just dang. That's all I got to say is dang. The dude is legit. He's always been legit. And like you said, you know, it's not like he's been gone from things. It's just, hey, welcome back to the score sheet.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the goal column. It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, yes, he's an elite playmaker, but dang, you needed that.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the back of the net. Linus Olmark was pretty good, I would say, against a very, very talented.
How about that one save at the beginning of the second?
The one where it was his fault and then he made up for it?
Yeah.
Can we be a little more careful about playing the pucks behind the net there, boys?
Yeah, they really need to. They like can't let that happen all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it with Carter Hutton in 2 games against Washington where, you know, those plays wound up being the difference in games. And then this one with Linus Olmark where he bails himself out. You want to know what else is making me feel good, though, Frank?
Hmm.
Even with everything that has happened since the win streak, they've banked so many points that they're, what, 3 points or 4 points off of Toronto or Boston?
They are 4 points off of Toronto right now.
4 off of Toronto. Fantastic.
The problem is Toronto also has 2 games in hand.
I don't care. They're going to lose those games in hand when the Sabres go on their bye week.
Yeah, they are. which comes up after Friday.
And then they'll have theirs eventually. Like, there's ways to make up for this.
Yeah.
The thing is that outside of Tampa, the entire Eastern Conference is wide open.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, and now you're starting to see that separation now in the conference where after Tampa, you have between Columbus and Buffalo, which is 2-9, it's all separated by 5 points.
Yeah.
And then Carolina's at 49. They're one of those teams where it's like they could try to go for it or they can try to sell. They're like right in the middle. It's nice to see that January 17th, 2019, the Sabres are in that top half of the Eastern Conference.
Not just that, but like they're still in the thick of things. They really are. They have games in hand on a couple of teams, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They're one of the teams that's played more games.
Oh, okay.
Them and Boston have played 47. Montreal's played 48. Then teams like the Islanders, Leafs have played 45, and Pittsburgh, Washington, Columbus have played 46.
So they have a game in hand on
Montreal. That's it. That's really
Who's a team that could be had.
Yeah.
But I'm not even worrying about games in hand right now because we're still
there's
in the thick of things.
There's plenty of games left to be played.
Not to mention, the biggest thing is this. I wanted 3 points out of these next two games to call it a bit of a success after the disaster that was Edmonton.
Uh-huh.
That's doable against Vancouver.
It's doable now.
Not to mention, if you can get 4 points out of it, then four out of six.
That kind of makes up for the Edmonton game.
Not to mention, 4 out of 6 on a Western Canada road trip is generally a good trip.
On a Western trip in general is pretty good.
That's good if you can get points in 2 out of 3 games. So guess what? What does that leave you? That leaves you a couple more games in late January, and then you're into February where you're great at home, and you have 7 off the bat.
Yeah.
Even if the Sabres didn't do well on this Western Canada trip, like say they didn't win against Calgary and say they lost against Vancouver, I'm not spiraling yet. Why? I'm waiting for February. Because that's where they'll make their ground up.
Yeah.
If they make their ground up. And if they don't, well, then they're not a playoff team.
Yeah. Like you look at the February schedule to start, 7 straight home games. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about whether they are actually a playoff team or not. Their biggest question right now is, can they win road games? That's their biggest question.
And they have
been good. They're 10-11-3 on the road this year, but they're 14-6-3 at home. They're winning their home games, which is what you're supposed to do. So you're right. The homestand heading into February is going to be huge. That's where they can make up the points, especially because there are winnable games there. They're playing Chicago.
Ooh.
Chicago's not a good team.
Chicago gives up goals like no tomorrow.
Minnesota's a team who's there right now.
They're there, but the Sabres showed
they can beat them. So that's going to be a really good game.
Sabres beat them in Minnesota.
They play Carolina.
Revenge.
That revenge game.
For the luckiest win I've seen a Hurricanes team get, and that's saying something because Jay McKee had a staph infection once.
Yeah. They played Detroit. They could beat Detroit because Detroit's bad.
Yep.
Winnipeg's their toughest team.
Winnipeg's a good
And they're a good team.
And guess what?
You have to face them at home.
And guess what?
They
beat
them.
You beat Winnipeg on the road.
Yeah. Then they face the Islanders. Revenge game for...
Well, that's a tough game, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. And then they play the Rangers. And the Rangers are a team that's starting to kind of...
The last time that the Sabres played the Rangers, they lost, but they dominated them the whole time.
Yeah.
So...
And they beat them at home already this year.
Just pray you don't face Lundqvist.
See about that.
How's that?
And the only back-to-back you have in that homestand is Detroit, Winnipeg.
And you're home.
But you're at home. So who cares?
So travel's not a problem.
Yeah. So you're already in those 7 games, you're already looking at probably 4 wins right there that they should get at least.
I want 5 out of
you
7.
You want 5, you want 6.
I want 5 out of them at minimum.
You want 5 at minimum, but...
With how they've played at home, I want 5.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But you can also argue, I mean, they could lose 1 in overtime or 2 in overtime, you know, things like that.
10 points minimum.
So 10 out of 14
yes.
is what you want.
Yeah, I'll look at it as points, not necessarily as wins.
Sure. Yeah, that's what we have. That's what you have. Yeah, absolutely. I would say if they can win 4 and get 10 points.
Like you go 4-1-2,
That's a success.
That's a good homestand.
That's a great homestand, yeah.
It's a little disappointing in two games.
Sure, but you got points out of it.
Because at the same time, you know,
especially if you're getting a point like against Winnipeg and Minnesota, that's a success right there.
Yeah.
If you have a slip up against like the Islanders,
that's the team I don't want one at.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But if that's the only game where you didn't get a point in, because you got to look at that where the Islanders are at that time too. But you're giving yourself chances
at that time.
That's what you want to do.
At that time, the Islanders are going to be where they are in the mix.
Yeah.
So I don't want a 3-point game there. I don't want a loss in regulation there.
Oh sure.
If there's one that I want an outright win in, it's that one.
It's that game. The only real regulation loss you take is Winnipeg.
Sure.
Because Winnipeg's also really good.
Yes.
And it's Western Conference, so it's not that big of a deal. Same thing with Minnesota. But
exactly.
It's not that big of a deal.
You're not really getting hit too hard in the
standings. Minnesota's a team you beat on the road, too.
Yeah.
I will have to say, with the way this season's gone, I've been trying to dive into teams that are in the Sabres position over the past few years, where they were really bad one year and they had to bounce and they bounced back and potentially made the playoffs. You're looking at the Leafs of 2 years ago. Matthews,
yes.
Marner, rookie year, 95 points, they made the playoffs. Do the Sabres not feel like a team that's on pace for 95 points?
Should be.
And if that's the case, it all depends on if 95 gets you in this year. It might. It might not.
Florida was, 93 last year, and it didn't get them in?
Yeah. I think, let me look at last year's standings, in the East at least. The eighth spot was New Jersey at 97.
Yeah, so
96 Florida had last year, and they didn't
get in. So 95 wouldn't have got you in last year.
Exactly. However, 95 got you in the West, Colorado.
95 could do it this year the way that the East is beating the crap out of each other.
Exactly. When I was checking out teams and doing a little research on it, I found something really interesting. Buffalo and Colorado mirror each other really well.
Because they were absolute butt the year before?
Well, besides that, look at how both teams are built.
They're both top heavy?
Very top heavy.
Both have some decent goaltending?
Good goaltending. Obviously, Colorado doesn't have Erasmus Dahlin. The closest they have is Cale Makar, and he still hasn't played in the NHL yet. He's still in college. But you look at last year's Avalanche team, when they were total butt the year before.
Ooh, they were butt.
48 points.
Booty.
Yeah, worse than the tank. Like, even last year's Sabres were better. Let's be real on that. But last year's Avalanche... Remember, Nathan MacKinnon at 97 points. MVP caliber. He was in the running. Mikko Rantanen at 84 points. Gabriel Landeskog at 62.
That's top heavy line.
Top heavy. Then they had Tyson Barry had a very good year. 57 points. He's their top defenseman.
And Rasmus Dahlin might threaten.
Is in that mix. And you also have Ristolainen in there too.
Yeah.
Ristolainen's having another good year, points-wise. And then Alex Kerfoot had 43. He's a rookie. After that, nobody else was over 40. Nobody else was over 37.
And that's the Sabres.
And that's, yeah, that's pretty much the Sabres right there. Even they have a really good young player who really didn't have that good of a rookie year, Tyson Jost.
That's right.
He's a really good young player for them.
That was the Nylander draft, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
65 games he played.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 22 points.
That's actually not bad.
It's not bad for...
A rookie defenseman?
No, he's a forward.
Oh, I thought he was...
That's why I'm saying another really good young
okay.
player. Like, I'm comparing him to Mittelstadt.
Okay, then.
I mean, it's lucky they got a guy like Kerfoot.
Yeah.
Too, but Tyson Jost, he's like... Expected to be.
Jost was a defenseman. It just sounds like a defenseman name. Doesn't it, Tyson Jost?
Yeah.
Defenseman?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Like, Jost.
Yeah. But he's a guy
who
will
hit you in the boards at the blue line.
And hit you on the boards in the blue line. Tyson Jost is 5'11.
I couldn't have been more wrong just because of a name and how it sounds.
But
never judge a book by its cover, kids.
Yeah. But Tyson Joss is
looked, you could think he's a defenseman. Tyson Joss is a small little forward.
I
Not
think
a small forward, but
Joss is looked at as potentially McKinnon's number, you know, guy, like how Middlestead is for Eichel.
Right.
Similar. No, they're very similar prospects, we'll say. But Colorado's a very top-heavy team. They got good goaltending. Semyon Varlamov had a really good year, 920 save percentage, and he only played like 51 games. He only played 51 games,
and
or 47 starts.
Oh, and by the way, the biggest comparison that you could take out of all of this is our stress is nowhere near over, everyone, because the Avalanche made the playoffs.
With 95 points.
On the final day of the season.
Yes. Against the team that they...
It was winning in.
Yeah, for that game. I remember that. I watched that game, too, and it was awesome.
I mean, the Sabres, it's not going to be a winning in because they're facing Detroit in the final game of the season.
It might be a winning in, though. It might be a winning
in
for
the
Sabres.
It may just be they're not facing the opponent that would go in if you lose to them. So,
want to know the biggest comparison to last year's Avalanche to this year's Sabres are?
I think you had it with the top-heavy... scoring group.
I got it.
So you have a bigger comparison?
You just talked about Colorado got in on the last day of the season.
Yes.
They also had a 10-game winning streak. I'm not kidding. They also did.
Fun with numbers!
Yeah. After game 36, Colorado lost to Arizona, first off.
Nice job, guys.
So after game 36, they had 37 points. They were 17, 16, and 3. They then proceeded to win 10 straight games. Their next loss wasn't until January 23rd, game 47. How close do you think that is to where the Sabres are? It's just theirs was in January. December to January. The Sabres was in November. However... Right after the winning streak, Colorado then proceeded to lose 4 out of the next 5 games. And 6 out of their last 8. Like,
so kind of what the Sabres are going through is what you're telling me.
Yeah. What really helped Colorado get in, as you're looking at the schedule, they had another little streak.
I swear to God, if you say that they have a 7-game homestand...
No.
Okay.
No,
I was
not
just,
a,
I was
not
about
a
to be
homestand.
Freaked out.
They had another streak where they went 6-0-3 in 9 games. They had 3 straight wins, 3 straight overtime shootout losses, then another 3 straight wins.
These 2 Canada games in the homestand.
It can be there, yeah.
That's what I'm hoping
but
for.
But like it took another streak like that for them to get in. And then winning on the last day of the season for them to get in. And they had a 10-game winning streak.
So, ready? This stress that we're all feeling here, Sabres Twitter, Sabres fans.
Mm-hmm. Relax.
No, it's not relax. Buckle up.
Yeah.
We're in it for a long time this year.
It's going to get stressful.
So you best be ready.
Ramped up.
You know what? Take a page out of Frank's book there. Relax for now. Like, let's calm it down a little bit. You want to know why? We're here for a while in this stress pool. This cesspool of stress pools. So let's calm it down. Let's take a breather, step back, and know that we're in it for a while.
Yeah.
We are going to be high stress, standings watching, scoreboard watching all year.
Oh, yeah. And up until that last game,
you know
up until that last game of the season, too, Colorado was on a streak where they lost 5 out of 6 games, and then they won the last game of the season to get in.
Oh God!
Yeah,
to lose 5 out of 6 before
they nearly
blew it.
They nearly blew it. Yeah,
that's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh God! If that happens here, like that.
Remember,
exact situation.
They won on the very last game of the year.
But again, if that happens, that same exact situation, we lose 5 of 6 before it's a winning in the final game of the season. I could just imagine. Oh, they're not going to win. They're going to blow it because they've already blown it. They lost 5 of 6. Blah blah blah. Things that don't matter. I can imagine that.
Colorado was 43-30-9 last season. 95 points.
Sabres are easily on track for 43 wins. Based on how
they're on pace to have that kind of year. And that, and for all we know, that might still get them in. It might.
Ding, 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 ding. That is the vehicle saying buckle up.
Yeah. Yeah, buckle up.
Buckle up. Sniff the glue. Let's go. It's going to be interesting. And intense. And the best part about all that, Frank, it's awesome.
Oh my God, yeah.
We haven't done this for what, 5 years?
7 years. Maybe six.
Well, I mean, like, okay, actually, hang on. Dial it back a couple years ago. You know, what was it? First year of Bylsma?
Second.
Or second year, where they had themselves 1 point out of a playoff spot before that bye week, and then they lost to Colorado and Arizona, and the tires blew off.
2 years ago. I thought that was the year Colorado was terrible.
Yes, that's right. Yep, that's right. They had themselves threatening in playoff position.
There, and that was in, like, January, February.
Yep, and then...
And then it was all downhill.
Like, how good it felt, too.
This year,
you beat St. Louis, you tussled with Chicago into the bye week, and everyone's feeling good. You're 1 point out of a playoff spot. And then the bye week went the way it bounced the Sabres' way, because they went from 1 point out of a playoff spot to only five after missing an entire week.
Yep.
And what happened? Everyone's like, that's the best case scenario. Not a lot of damage was done, and the Sabres now have games in hand, and they can do something about it.
Nope.
Then they lost to Arizona and Colorado.
Yeah.
When they were both terrible bad. And I remember it was like one of my first times working here. And it was the first time I was on Sports Talk Saturday. And I jumped on the mic for Sal and I said, look, if the Sabres lose to Colorado and Arizona, they don't deserve to make the playoffs. Lo and behold, they did. And then they also didn't.
Yeah.
In that order. So, like, that might have been one of the few times I was right about something. And it's easily the part where I didn't want to be.
Yeah, it's true.
But at the same time, that wasn't the point. It was, now we got to see what they can do here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to call my shot here. If the Sabres don't get 10 points in that homestand, they're not going to be a playoff team. Not that they don't deserve it. It's just that that's ground you can't afford to miss on.
I will still argue that 10 points, I think, is the goal for them. When they get to that point, obviously they're not looking at that right now.
Yeah.
But when they get to that point, they'll look at those next seven games at home and think, and at least the coaching staff will think, yeah, we got to get like 10 points in that. Things have to go their way for that to happen. If they end up getting eight, that's, like I said, I think eight is bare minimum. Anything less is a disappointment.
Eight
is bare
up.
Minimum. Nine, it's like, okay, we can live with that. 10 is like, okay, we feel good. And then anything more is just a bonus.
Yeah. Eight is one of the, like, leading up to it, you've been playing really well, then eight's not going to be as bad of a kidney shot.
Yeah, like, if they beat Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't play again for another 11 days. So you got the bye week, and then you have the All-Star weekend.
Yeah, nice job, NHL.
Yeah. But then you come out of that, and you're playing Columbus, and then you're playing Dallas.
If you can take those two games, for example, then 8 points, not as bad
I would say they really can beat Vancouver.
Yes.
The biggest thing with playing Vancouver now is Elias Pettersson is expected to be back.
All right, just take an extra day off there, buddy.
Yeah, just
rest up for the All-Star game.
Yeah, really. At least I got to play games too still before that. But
rest up before the All-Star game. There you go. Perfect. Rest up for those games.
If they can get 2 points against Vancouver and then Columbus-Dallas, best case scenario, if they can get 2 points out of those four, you're feeling better about 8 or 9 points.
Exactly. But I need to have a good couple of games before that if I'm only going to get 8 points on that homestand.
Yeah.
My big thing is this. The homestand is your proving grounds for one reason. It is your strong suit playing at home. You gave the schedule of a group of beatable teams. That's your proving ground. I'm not saying that they don't deserve to make the playoffs if they don't get 10 points in that stretch. What I am saying is that if you don't get it, those are points that you need.
Yeah.
Every game is important at this point. No, duh.
Oh,
but this is a stretch that you can see where you're looking at one of their strengths. And that is where the big thing is. Playing at home has been one of their best strengths. They need to take advantage of it here. Because, I'd imagine, with seven straight games to start home in February, there's a lot of road games coming up along the rest of the way, right?
In February, yeah.
So,
after that,
just like the win streak, bank your points.
After the seven-game homestand, five out of their next six games are on the road.
Bank points when you can, and that's an opportunity, too.
They're not going to be easy. Yeah, because you got... They play New Jersey. They should beat New Jersey.
You best
beat New Jersey. Florida. Apparently, they like to lose to Florida on the road.
Well, that streak is broken.
But now they got to beat them on the road.
Yeah. Losing seven straight in total.
Guess who else you get to play again?
Toronto.
Yes, that. But guess who else? Tampa.
Joy.
And then you also play Philly on the road.
At least that series ends that day.
Yeah, that's true. So then, play Toronto and play Philly. And you should be able to beat Philly.
You know,
and then the only home game they have is against Washington.
And that's not an easy one either. You know, with Tampa, by the way, with how good the Lightning have been doing, going 1-2 and being in very tightly contested games and your two losses.
It's not a bad thing.
Not bad, actually.
No.
Looking back on it.
Yeah.
The refs go ahead and just throw you into the corner in one game, and I'm not blame the refs guy. I hate blame the refs guy. And the refs kind of did you dirty. And in the other one, it was such an emotionally charged game that you lose 5-4. Or was it 6-5 that game?
I don't remember.
It was a lot of goals.
It was like that, though.
But it was emotionally charged.
Yeah.
It was so emotionally charged, they had nothing left and ended up only with an overtime point against Florida the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked drained.
Yeah.
Because it was such an emotional back-and-forth game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won earlier in Buffalo. Guess what? Hey, look at that. Winning at home. Even against the team that is threatening the 96 Red Wings in point projection. Is that the best season ever of all time? 132 points?
Yes.
So they're threatening for the best season in the NHL history.
Well, 132 is, but that was done by the 77 Canadiens.
Oh, right. The Red Wings were 131.
Yes, but they had the most wins.
Right.
They had 62 that year. Montreal that in 77 had 60. Because remember, they played... It was only two less games.
Two less games.
That's it.
Two less games, and they still had more points.
Yeah.
Which means they lost
lost eight games that year.
And they were ties.
12 ties.
And they could have turned some of those probably into...
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
All right, well, but again, Tampa's threatening for the best season in NHL history on their pace.
Up there. They're going up there, yeah.
On their pace, on their points pace, they're there.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And you've beaten them one time at home already. Remember how I said taking those points to the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Was Tampa the start of the win streak?
I believe so. No, Montreal was. Montreal over Tampa was the third game.
Okay.
Because you had the...
But still.
Yeah, you had the Montreal, which started the win streak, that epic 6-5 game.
Yep.
With Ristolainen. And then you had the Vancouver game where they scored two goals in the final couple of minutes.
Oh, that was awesome. I was there for that one. And yeah. I was there as a fan.
Yeah.
And in that corner
oh, yeah.
where they scored all those goals.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But, like, that's the thing. Like, let's get some more of this magic back. And maybe that Calgary game starts it. Who knows?
Hopefully. That's the hope.
All right, Frank.
They just got to, you know, you just look at it as a few-game stretch. And they could just get... If they could just be, you know, over 500 in these few game stretches, you know, like I look at Florida, Boston, New Jersey, and they won 2 out of 3, and they got 4 out of 6 points. Look at though, if you look at it in that way, you're feeling better because they're gradual. It's a gradual thing. It's you can't just make a one quick jump. That's what people because that's the problem is that that's what the fans want. They want that one quick jump.
The winning streak did alter expectations a lot.
Oh my God, did it? Yeah.
But ready? My big thing is this.
So I'm saying is if they beat Vancouver tomorrow,
that's a successful.
You're
road
looking
trip.
At yeah. You're looking at three games that they got 4 points.
Yep.
Out of six.
You
and
take that.
And you look at, and then I put Columbus and Dallas together and say, get 2 out of 4. That's another success.
Honestly, I might lump those two games together with that road trip.
You can, yeah, because it is a road trip. I would look at it as just the Western Canada road trip.
And if I look at it that way, the 6 out of 10 and then the is still good.
Yeah. Then the pre-homestand road trip, which is for only two games.
Yeah.
But and then the home, and then I can, you have the home stand.
I would lump the Columbus and Dallas game.
I think you can. I think you absolutely I'm going to. Can. You go right ahead.
And, but again, it's a big
six
thing.
Out of 10 points would be great.
6 out of 10 in that stretch would be great. 7 or more, better.
Yeah.
I had a tweet. It was very subtle about the start of overtime. Okay, you got a point. Baby steps.
Yep.
Now get the other one.
Yep.
Now get some more.
Yep.
You that's right. That's exactly it.
I love that. I love that tweet.
Like that's it. That's exactly what it is. It's just you got a point. Now go get the other. Now go get some more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset that could happen with those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like, when you play sports, it's kind of like that. Like, okay, we got the next one. Now let's go get another.
Yep.
And then let's go get some more. Why? Because we're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres do have a situation, though, that they need to tend to on their roster. Based on the report from Renaud Lavoie, that was about Nathan Beaulieu.
Yeah. So he doesn't – what I've read since then is he doesn't want out.
He wants playing
time. He wants to play.
Which is very understandable for a professional athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he gets more playing time here.
And if he
gets – he's played 26 of the 47.
Yeah.
He's been passed by Casey Nelson and Lawrence Pilot.
He's a 6'7". And he's dropping now more to like a 7'8". Yeah, and he'll drop more down to probably a 7'8" once Nelson comes back from his injury, which hopefully that's soon.
And again, that makes it a problem of he's not getting playing time. What do you do? I've got one idea. I've got a dumb idea, and I've got a legitimate idea.
What's that?
Both of them involve calling Peter Chiarelli.
I already know where you're going.
Remember how they're mentioning that they might look at trading Jesse Puljujarvi or a first-round pick because they need forward help? Try to sell him on Nate Beaulieu as a forward. And see if Chiarelli swings at that. And then if that doesn't work, send him a couple wobbly pops and try to send Beaulieu to Chiarelli for RNH. If those don't work, try to get a fifth rounder for him.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, for his sake, Beaulieu has played a lot better this year.
He has.
To his credit.
He has.
And there's the problem.
My
God. You know what, do a service for him if you need to.
I think they're gonna.
When Nelson comes back, I should say, you have defensive depth again.
Yeah,
remember how we were talking before the season that the Sabres might unload a player?
That was where I was going at is I think what they're going to do is they're going to wait till they know what's going to happen, what's up with Casey Nelson because the thing is you would have to hope that he comes back before the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you really want Matt Hunwick as your seventh? I mean, sure that's fine, but what if you got to play him?
And really then if an injury happens, Matt Tennyson's suddenly a 7 and everyone's crapping their pants.
I know. Yeah, exactly. So I think they're gonna wait to see what's up with Casey Nelson before they do anything with Beaulieu.
Mm-hmm.
And if Nelson is gonna be back in the lineup before the deadline, Beaulieu's probably a trade deadline move.
Yes. And then he can go to a team that needs that defensive help and that he will get that playing time because you know, he's played better, and I feel like you can owe it to a guy like that. You know, he's been a good soldier. He's been a
all
guy
all of a sudden, a team. Edmonton is the – it's funny enough, Edmonton was the first team I thought of, too, when I saw the report. It's like, trade him to Edmonton. Because you'll get a lot for him.
Try to swing him as a forward. Yeah. See if you can get a first rounder or Puljujarvi.
Oh my God. Yeah. So
see, that there was the dumb part, by the
way.
Yeah,
I know.
Both involve calling Peter Chiarelli, though.
I know.
Which legitimately means, why does that man have his job?
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to make jokes like that.
I think Vancouver is an option.
There's a lot of options. Don't expect a lot on a return.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm looking at maybe a fifth round pick.
I mean, I think they could probably swing a fourth or a third for a defense.
They used a third to acquire him originally.
I think they could get one back.
Depending on the team.
A lot of teams, especially when they're looking for that defensive help, will give up something like that.
Was it a third round pick that they got for Mike Weber?
Yes.
Right,
Mike Weber got a third round pick. Washington traded a third round pick for Michael Kempe last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defense is a market.
Mm-hmm.
Left-handed shots.
Mm-hmm.
That could help put some points up for you on the third pairing.
Or at least just give you depth in the position.
Yep.
Third round pick is pretty realistic.
I'm still not banking on it, though.
I
won't bank on it.
I think you can.
I'm not going to bank on it.
But what is Bull?
Because then you get disappointed, Frank. Nobody likes being disappointed.
Okay.
Look at how this team has.
But look at how
the fan base reacted when the team started losing games.
Okay.
Don't put expectations on them.
But
Phantom Door.
What does Bull you have compared to the other guys we mentioned in Mike Weber and Michael Kempe?
Offensive prowess.
Well, besides that.
Defensive crap your pants abilities.
Besides that.
Giving people heart attacks.
Besides that.
Size.
Besides that. Well, Mike Weber has size, let's be real. No, he's an RFA.
Right.
Mike Weber
Thank you for finally giving me the answers. I wasn't getting it.
Yeah. Mike Weber was a UFA. Michael Kempe was a UFA.
That's right. So they would have rights.
So it's right. So you can
therefore
get more
for value.
Yes.
I'm still not putting expectations on it.
I'm not saying that they're going to get a third for it. I'm saying a third is very realistic.
It's in the realm of possibility.
Yes.
Which I agree with. I'm just not putting my hopes or expectations on it.
Or they could get another player.
They could get another.
Maybe it's a hockey trade or it's a one for one.
Or maybe the Sabres throw in a.
Or maybe they get a player, a okay prospect, and like a later, and then like a fourth or a fifth round pick.
Or maybe the Sabres throw in like a.
A seventh and get a. Decent prospect, because for some reason seventh round picks make that trade. Like we saw last night.
I was going to say tag a third along and see if you can go ahead and get Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
You could do that too. Sabres have a third round pick.
The Chiarelli well will never die here.
It'll never die.
I want to go to the Chiarelli well.
Sure, I want it too.
Pay me a visit. To the Chiarelli well. Conditional third on Connor Sherry.
Yeah, it's that shit.
Which then could be a fourth.
Which would more likely be a fourth, unless Sherry somehow.
Actually, is it still in their property? Because it shouldn't be. Because it was a conditional fourth that they sent to Pittsburgh. So they have a third round pick.
Yeah, but you know what? They won't be able to trade that, because if Connor Sherry does score 20 goals or they trade Matt Hunwick, they have to send Pittsburgh the third round pick and they get their fourth back.
That's right.
So they can't really use that pick right now.
They can't use that pick right now, or they can just keep Matt Hunwick.
Well, they're going to keep Matt Hunwick.
And Sherry is luckily now.
Not really. I don't think he's going to get 20 goals.
He's not on pace for it, but I say luckily based on this scenario alone. How about you just throw your 2020 second round pick at him? And Nathan Beaulieu.
There you go.
And try to get something stupid from
that works a lot better.
Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah, you can do that.
Or you could pair that to actually try to get something for Beaulieu. Like a third line center that can give you scoring capabilities.
Yeah.
There's ways to spin this into a positive.
It really is.
I guess I should say it that way.
They have a first round pick to use as well if they want to. Just one.
They could use 2020s if they want.
And they have 2020s as well if they want.
I'm not for spending on these first round picks, though.
No, I'm
really
not either.
I know
a lot of people are also trying to say, oh, well, they got three first round picks that they can use. Like, no, they really only have one.
But
for this year, at least.
If the right deal's there, sure.
Yeah, and the right deal has to be there, and I don't think it will be.
But now the Sabres, here's the thing, though, for some people, that I will give them the positive news. Nathan Beaulieu's request to play more does put them in conversations in the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with trade markets? It starts with a phone call.
That's true.
And then it becomes a discussion.
Yep.
It could start with Nathan Beaulieu, and it could turn into something else.
That's true. Like, very true.
Jeff Skinner did not come here because Jason Botchell said, I'll trade you a second for Jeff Skinner and a couple of other things in Cliff Poo. It happened because there were conversations.
Yep.
Hey, what's going on there with Jeff Skinner? You want to know what's going to happen? Teams are going to call and go, hey, what's going on with Nate Beaulieu?
Yeah, teams will.
Okay, and then Botchell goes, okay, you want him? What do you got for me?
Yep. That's true.
You're the Sabres are back correct. In the trade market, not even necessarily by choice.
Well, they never left the market. They were always in there.
They weren't making calls, though, I don't think.
We don't know that.
They probably are, but
now they have a legitimate piece to use
there's
in
a legitimate,
those discussions.
But not to mention now, there's a legitimate piece that teams are calling inward.
Yeah. Now you got teams calling in more.
And when teams call you, that makes
sense.
But
I will bet you two teams are also calling in asking, what's up with Jeff Skinner?
Yeah.
I bet you.
And
teams are going to ask, hey, how are those negotiations going?
And Jason Botchell goes, no, new phone, who dis?
Yeah. If he actually did that, that'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It would also not help your trade value for anything anymore in the NHL.
No.
Because that would get out.
Yeah.
Yo, Botchell said, new phone, who dis to me. I'm never trading with him again. All right, crap. All right, Frank. I successfully jinxed the Dallas Cowboys. I wanted the Rams to win. I was just too scared to be the problem. So that unfortunately put me to 3-1 this
week. Don't worry, I also went 3-1.
Because you somehow decided that the Eagles were going to win.
No, I picked the Colts to beat
the
Chiefs.
That's right.
I mean, to be fair, I can give you that for Dallas because you did it specifically to make Dallas
lose. I did it to spite them. I really
did. So let's be real. You won that.
Cool. I did it. Yeah, that's right. I did pick them for the intent of being the jinx to make them lose. I also did it, though, for the Patriots, so I'm not going to go ahead and give myself the credit.
Sure.
So cancels out.
Okay.
I went 3-1.
Okay.
Because if I were to go ahead and say that, yeah, I picked the Patriots out of spite, too, well, I didn't win that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I go 3-1.
So conference championship weekend.
Eagles Rams gonna be fun again. I mean Eagles Rams.
Saints
Rams gonna be fun again. 45-35 last time.
Yeah.
Pound the over as we were hanging out with Trainwreck.
Yeah.
Trainwreck Sports back on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That was why we didn't have the pod. Sorry guys. but pound the over on that, first off.
Yeah.
It's in a dome, two high-powered offenses, and defenses that are not quite good enough to stop you. I'm taking the Saints. I just think that all around, they're a better team. I can't give coaching to the Saints as an advantage, but I can give the advantage a better all-around team. What's
take
the over?
57.
That'll happen at half.
Probably.
Maybe.
Right now the line is New Orleans -3.5.
It's basically a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Because home team usually gets 3.
Yeah.
So
it's the same thing with Chiefs
Patriots. They're basically saying
literally both lines.
These are the best 4 teams in the NFL.
Take your pick.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
All right.
Patriots Chiefs is the same way too, by the way.
But I'm taking the Saints there. I think they're just a better team.
I'm also saying talk about over under.
Yep.
I'm going the Rams.
And I respect that. Like, if they can run the way they did against Dallas, look out.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley, still my MVP because Ketchup on Steak Man will never get my vote. No matter how good he was.
New Orleans feels like the most complete team out of these four.
They should have made the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
If not for Marcus Williams getting the hit stick too early.
Yeah. But I feel like for the Rams, they will be able to get the running game going with either Gurley or C.J. Anderson.
Sheldon Rankins being out now for injury hurts
really
them.
Hurts the Saints.
He was a run stuffer.
Yeah. I think if I think as long as Jared Goff can keep up with Breeze, the Rams will win.
Because both running games are legit here.
Both running games kind of equal out a little in a way.
Defenses are not necessarily good enough. Coaching, I would say, I would lean toward McVay.
But the Rams
It's a question of can Jared Goff hang with Drew Brees?
Yes.
Can Drew Brees do his usual thing
at
home?
And if Aaron Donald can have a huge game, too.
My big thing is this, though. The Saints don't lose at home in the playoffs.
That's fair.
That's where I think they take it eventually.
Okay.
There's my big deciding factor, is that the Superdome is super for the Saints.
I don't think the game is going to be as high scoring. Like, the over-under is 57.
You're hammering that, though.
Yeah, but you can also see the game going kind of like how the Saints-Eagles game went. That was 20-14. You can kind of see it go that way, too, be more defensive game.
But at the same time...
I think
35-28 gets you the over.
Yeah.
And with those two teams, is that unrealistic?
That's very... Yeah, that may very well
Could
happen
that happen
too.
By the third quarter?
It could, too. It really could.
Like, 35-28 is a very easy score to predict for this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell, 31-28 gets it done.
Yeah. It's true.
So...
It may very well go... I think it's probably going to go down that route. Yeah.
31-24 is close to it, right? It's right at it.
It's just under it.
Just under it.
Yeah.
So, come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. The Saints...
I think the Rams...
Saints-Rams.
I think the Rams just squeak out.
I respect it.
I think it's going to come down... I literally think it's going to come down to a field goal on the very last play of the game.
Oh, dear.
I really feel like it will.
All right.
A lot of times those kind of games usually do.
Time for the game where we actually care about which team actually goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because we'll be angry if one team does. As the Chiefs host the ultimate underdog.
Yes, the underdog.
According to Julian Edelman, it's the Rudy story of all Rudy stories.
Yes.
Bet against us, Julian Edelman says. And I say to that, okay. Because, yeah, as a matter of fact, actually, no. You want to know why? Because every time I do... It bites me. And you go to the Super Bowl. And I get angry because I have to deal with the Patriot way.
Who the heck
Radio
is
talking?
Has been.
Like, who is slapping this whole underdog mentality into the Boston market and into the Patriots locker room here? Blow it?
It's because people were kept. It was always that talk of, oh, the dynasty's over and things like that. And they're saying that's making them underdogs.
But the problem is that those were hopes.
Yeah.
That wasn't legitimate talk. It was, oh, this could finally be it. Like, maybe we actually get to see a different team in the Super Bowl for once. Like, it wasn't actual prognostication there. It was, can it finally be over?
Yeah.
Can our misery end?
Yeah.
No. And guess what? That apparently makes them the underdogs of all underdogs.
The ultimate underdogs.
The ultimate underdogs who make 8 straight AFC championship games.
Ha!
We're so plucky.
Get out.
Literally blow it out your crack pipe because that's what you're smoking.
Chiefs are winning.
No, they're not.
They are.
Well, that's your pick.
That's my pick.
And my pick is we can't have nice things.
I mean, that's true.
And that is why I will never bet against them. And that's why I'm going ahead and scoffing at this whole underdog thing, because they are still the New England freaking Patriots. And give me a freaking break on this, because the Patriots are going to go ahead and beat the Chiefs, who are constantly choke artists. And guess what? Yeah, they got their playoff win at Arrowhead. Congratulations, Kansas City.
Guess what? The monkey's off their back now.
The monkey's off your back. And yeah, that may mean that the floodgates are loose, but it also could mean that the Patriots just go ahead and stomp on our petty little dreams of not having to watch the Patriots in the Super Bowl and not having to deal with the Patriots in the Patriot way for an entire freaking 2-week span at Radio Row.
Great rant. That is
why I'm taking the Patriots.
Great rant.
That is why I won't bet against you. I'm sorry for what seemed like a roid rage rant there.
That was a great rant. I don't know what I'm talking
get
about.
It
I love
because
it.
Edelman took PEDs. And
yeah, I get it.
Because, again, we are not allowed to have nice things. Tom Brady has made the Super Bowl 8 times since 2001.
I know.
This will be 9 if he gets it. But, hey, apparently they're the underdogs. So go out. Oh, my God. Could you imagine that? The best team in the NFL, the Saints. And guess what? We're the plucky little underdogs. It's the Super Bowl. We're the Patriots. We're lovable. No, you're not. Everyone outside of Boston hates you. Once again, blow it out of your crack pipe because you're smoking crack.
Not even going to talk about how much the weather's going to impact that game?
No.
Okay.
Because Tom Brady created a rule in snow. Bitch, he's in his element.
This is true. I hate that you're probably going to be right.
Once again, blow it out your crack pipe because you're smoking crack.
I hate that you're probably, that you're very likely to be right. And I hate it.
And you want to know the worst part? My reasoning on this is entirely emotional. I have not talked anything logical about this game. I've not talked about how Patrick Mahomes is going ahead and lighting up more touchdowns than anything else in the world. I'm not talking about how the Chiefs actually stifled the Colts' offense at home and have been one of the better defenses at home. What I'm talking about is purely emotional, purely the fact that the Patriots always go ahead and ruin my daydreams about possibly going ahead and being able to enjoy the Super Bowl with no stakes in it. Because when I have to watch the Super Bowl, guess what? I have to cheer against the Patriots if they're there.
Yeah.
Which is why, again, they're going to have to make me have to deal with this. And again, as members of the media, Frank, we have to go ahead and deal with the Patriot way getting shoved into every orifice known to a human body. You like hearing about the Patriot way down your ear hole? Great. You want it shoved up your nose? Well, too bad. I'm not going to go into other ones for reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get an IV? Or have or do blood work? Guess what? Patriot Way's getting shoved in that hole, too. Or maybe you decided to take some drugs, thinking that the Patriots are underdogs.
The drugs are called.
And the Patriot Way got shoved into that needle hole, too.
That's what the drugs are called.
I'm not encouraging any drug use,
no,
especially
we're not,
with
no.
needles, but still.
Yeah.
I'm making a point.
The drugs are called the Patriot Way.
The Patriot Way wants me to take drugs. Makes me want to take drugs.
And they make the drugs for you, too.
The Patriot Way makes me want to start drinking.
They make the drugs for you,
too. The Patriot Way wants me to go ahead and ignore Stephen A. Smith and not stay off the weed. The Patriot Way makes me want to go ahead and take my head and bash it along a wall. The Patriot Way makes me hate everything. The Patriot Way makes me want to eat Tide Pods. The Patriot Way wants me to go. Makes me want to go ahead and drink some bleach. The Patriot Way makes me want to go down an entire hallway and step on a bunch of Legos barefooted. Because they're so humble, Frank.
Yeah. Humble. Underdogs.
And that is why I'm picking the Patriots.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have to deal with that more, and so are all of you, because I'm going to be just as pissed when it happens again.
Same. Yep. You are 100% correct.
I hope I'm wrong.
I'm
not.
Too.
I'm not taking the pick despite them.
I hope I'm right.
I hope you're right, too.
I just really want to see Chiefs-Rams again. That's really it.
Chiefs-Saints
Chiefs-Saints will be awesome, too. Like,
it's just an equivalent.
Yeah.
The NFC is going to put up some points. Doesn't matter. Actually,
I don't care.
Actually,
who
the Super Bowl is going to be points.
Oh, Super Bowl is going to be all offense. Yeah,
but
I just don't want New England.
I don't want New England either. But that's why it's going
if
to
the
be
Chiefs
New England.
Win, all of America wins.
Yes.
So there you go, Mahomes. There you go, Chiefs.
Patrick
do
Mahomes,
it, do it for the team.
Patrick Mahomes,
do it for your fans. Do it for the city of Kansas City. But also, do it for America.
Patrick Mahomes, I will send you a bottle of Heinz or Hunt's ketchup or whatever you want if you win. He's going to get so much ketchup if he beats the Patriots.
Oh my God, yeah.
That dude is about to get every fan in America sending him ketchup. Or steak. Maybe both.
Definitely both.
There you go. Like, Pat Mahomes is just going to get a lifetime supply of ketchup if he beats the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Which is why he will never be my MVP. Like, I love me some ketchup on fries, and I kind of need it to eat scrambled eggs. But steak dog, come on. That ain't it, Chief. Thank you for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. I'm finally done with my anger emotions. And I hope, for everyone's sake, I don't have to talk about the Patriots in the Super Bowl again. That'd be great. It'd be fantastic. So thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. Derek Kramer.
Frank Curry.
And go Chiefs.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.